Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Listen to this. This is how the newspaper used to sound on the silver screen.
I've got the tickets for the hanging here, boys.
Hey.
Huh? What?
Pete, why can't you hang this guy at 5 o'clock instead of 7?
Sure, it won't hurt you, and we can make the city edition.
Oh, well, now that's kind of raw, Roy. After all, I can't hang a man in his sleep just to please the newspaper.
No, but you can reprieve him twice over the hangings 3 days before election, can't you?
Now, that's His Girl Friday. And here is how newspapers sound in the movies now.
Are you taking me off the story?
Well, watching seasoned reporters at work on a big story, you know, being part of it all, you'll learn a lot. So, Ted Moody, what do you think?
Don't let her do it.
Excuse me, you're defending her now?
She's fine. I can work with her.
But, Cal, she's inexperienced.
Inexperience isn't fatal.
I'm not giving up the story!
Ah, that's a clip from a movie that's in theaters right now, State of Play, with Russell Crowe as a hard-boiled investigative reporter in Washington. It's just one of two movies out right now where the big stars are newspapers. The other is The Soloist, that tells the story, the true story, of an L.A. Times columnist in the movie played by Robert Downey Jr., who helps a homeless man, once a musical prodigy. Of course, these days, if you're looking for a real weepy, just look at real newspapers. They're dying, filing for bankruptcy, cutting back on pages and in delivery, and in many cases, they're shutting down. So why are they still showing up so healthy on the silver screen? Well, for the answer, we're going to turn to A.O. Scott. He's a movie critic at our partner, the New York Times, and we're really happy to have him in here this morning.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Okay, State of Play and The Soloist. Does this mean that the movie-going public is hungry for tales of newspaper derring do?
I don't know. It certainly means that the Hollywood studios are still believe that there's some mileage in the image of the heroic image of journalists and journalism. And it's sort of an interesting coincidence that these movies come out right at the time when anyone who's still reading the newspapers is seeing headlines about how the newspapers are all on the verge of collapse. I have to say that the very last, I didn't think State of Play was a particularly good movie, but the very last image of it over the closing credits of the plates being set and the presses running and, you know, these stacks.
Oh, hang on. I'm getting excited.
I know.
I
was watching it in a screening room, I think, full of mostly print journalists, and we were all, you know, just weeping at the end. But it's an odd movie, too, because that movie, I think, seems particularly curiously out of touch with the realities of the newspaper business. The Soloist is a little different because it's not centrally about the newspaper business. The main character is a journalist. You do see the environment that he works in. In fact, the Los Angeles Times allowed, you know, the film to be shot in their newsroom. But it's a somewhat more personal story about the relationship between this writer and this musician.
I think one thing that's intriguing is that in State of Play, they do try to make some nod of the head to the changing face of journalism, in that Russell Crowe portrays a print reporter,
right,
and then Rachel McAdams, who we heard in that clip, along with Helen Mirren, she is the feisty blogger.
She's the blogger, and what she does, she works for the paper, but she writes the sort of their politics gossip blog. It's a Washington paper. And Helen Mirren, who was also in that clip, is the editor. And the interesting thing is that they have, Russell Crowe and Rachel McAdams have, I mean, it's completely without any sexual or romantic chemistry, but they have this kind of, you know, back and forth bantering relationship. But, and he sort of sees her as this young upstart who's totally irresponsible, who just makes stuff up and puts gossip out there on the web.
And he's totally grizzled and seasoned and overweight and probably drinks too much.
Right, and he has this messy desk, and he has, you know, she doesn't
even
have a...
You just described my perfect heartthrob.
At the end, he gives her a necklace made out of pens because she doesn't have any pens. She just uses her iPhone all the time.
Oh, you're making me cry.
But the interesting thing about it is that the lessons that they have to teach, it all goes one way. So you would think, or it would be, I think, maybe a more interesting story if he learned something about, you know, journalism in the new media environment. But it all goes, she learns the importance of a good, solid story. He has some ethical problems of his own. He's working on a story about his former college roommate whose wife he used to sleep with. But he can apparently get through those with Rachel McAdams' help. But she says at one point, you know, she has this line where they're deep into the story, and he says, "Well, aren't you going to put this up, you know, on the site, on the blog?" And she says, "No, you know, some stories are so important that they need to be on newsprint."
Well, I'm shocked to hear that movies sometimes do not portray life.
Well, it's a wonderful sentiment, you know, but you know, if you want people actually to read the story in a timely way, you might want to put it up on the web.
You know, one thing that I can't help but notice, and this is more common on journalism than it is on films about newspapers, and that is that we have, as newspaper journalists, as journalists in general, we've covered so many industries that have either had to have wrenching change or die, and yet when it's our own industry,
it's our turn, right?
Well, then it is a tragedy. And I'm wondering if the way we're looking at these two films doesn't somehow relate to that.
Well, I think there's a lot of sentimentality certainly that journalists have about our own our own profession and our own jobs, and I think that goes back even into Fleischer times, and I think some of that is actually reflected on screen. I mean, just as you were swooning over Russell Crowe, a lot of us over the years.
And by the way, it wasn't Russell Crowe. It was the image of him as a newspaper guy, all right? I just want to be clear there.
Gotcha. He's looked better, I'll say, than in this film. But, you know, this idea of us as sort of these hard-bitten, cynical, but ultimately idealistic crusaders after the truth. They're not in it for ourselves, but just we're going after the story. We're going
for
the truth.
You're making me cry.
Yeah, we get all choked up.
All right, quickly, for the non-newspaper people listening to this, State of Play, should you go or not?
No.
Okay, so The Soloist.
Sure.
Okay, that was the hands in the air. A.O. Scott, I hope you come back.
I hope so, too.
All right, thanks.